In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to the late edition of Thy Rayyan in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The Iranian president has stressed that all should respect people's vote as a basic right by accepting their choice. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark on Wednesday in a meeting with ambassadors and heads of representative offices of the Islamic countries in Tehran. Ahmadinejad said the way to reach justice, freedom, honor, and basic rights is not through conflicts and massacre. Questioning the essence of a war, the president underlined that in a war, men get killed, economy is demolished, and grudge fills the heart of people. Reminding that the Islamic world has historical enemies, Ahmadinejad pointed out that the Zionists and heads of hegemonic powers are arch enemies of all Islamic countries, and they do not want our nations to be independent, progressive, calm, and prosperous. He further urged the Islamic countries to be vigilant over the events in the regional countries which are happening in direction of Zionists' interests. President Ahmadinejad further appreciated the ambassadors for their cooperation during the past 8 years for developing solidarity and strengthening bilateral ties and efforts for establishment of peace, justice, and security in the world. Speaker of Iran's parliament, Or Majlis, has highlighted the importance of close relations between Iran and Oman, saying ties between the two countries and diverse areas influence regional stability. In a meeting with Omani ambassador to Iran, Sheikh Yahya Abdullah Salim Al-Fana Al-Arimi, Ali Larijani praised Tehran-Muscat relations as very good and strong. Larijani said relations between Iran and Oman are improving in various political, parliamentary, and economic domains, and such ties can affect stability in the region. For his part, the Omani ambassador said Sultan Qaboos attaches great importance to developing relations and cooperation with Iran. The Iranian foreign minister says the P5 plus one have voiced readiness to resume talks with Iran and that Tehran would definitely continue the talks in the future. Speaking to reporters at the end of the cabinet meeting, Ali Akbar Salehi said, no letter has been exchanged between the two sides on resumption of the talks. However, Salehi said, the P5 plus one has announced its readiness for continuation of talks. The Iranian minister further stressed that President-elect Hassan Rouhani should determine the negotiating team after taking office. Egypt's new government got down to work on Wednesday, faced with a raft of challenges including restoring security as angry loyalists of ousted President Morsi rallied outside the caretaker administration. Several thousand demonstrators gathered just a few hundred meters from the cabinet headquarters near Cairo's Tahrir Square, shouting anti-government slogans and waving banners. The protesters then marched in the direction of Cairo University across the Nile. More protests were expected after the iftar evening meal. The demonstration came as EU foreign policy chief held a series of meetings in Cairo with Egypt's new leaders, including interim president Ali Mansour, vice president Mohamed El Baradei, and army chief Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Catherine Ashton was due to meet members of the Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party later on Wednesday. 13 people were killed and 11 others wounded in separate violent attacks across Iraq on Wednesday. In Iraq's eastern province of Dawla, 3 children were killed and 5 others injured when a roadside bomb went off near a small river in the provincial capital city of Bakuba. Not far away from the same city, unknown gunmen opened fire on the car of Sheikh Ali al-Jamali, chieftain of a Sunni tribe in Magadia, killing his wife and wounding him, his son, and cousin. 2 other civilians were also killed and another injured in separate militant attacks in the same area. In Salahuddin province, clashes erupted late on Tuesday when gunmen attacked the house of Lieutenant Colonel Ali al-Jabouri, an aide of the local police chief, killing 3 of his guards and wounding another. Elsewhere, a soldier was killed and another wounded in the morning in a roadside bomb explosion near their military vehicle while patrolling El Sadiq district in Mosul. Also, 2 soldiers were killed when unidentified gunmen attacked an army patrol on the highway in Al Jazeera area in Ramadi. Iraq is witnessing its worst wave of violence in 5 years, raising fears that the latest bloodshed is dragging the country backward to a full-blown civil conflict. Several people, including women and children, have been killed in a car bomb attack in the Syrian town of Qaqar. The car was parked near a mosque in a town south of the capital, Damascus. Meanwhile, the Syrian government forces managed to kill and injure several foreign-backed militants in Al-Qaldiyah neighborhood of the western city of Homs. The army soldiers also clashed with militants in Al-Dana, Basamis, Deir Sumbul, Khan al-Sabil, Al-Bara, Ablin, Mayan, and Hass in Idlib countryside and killed a number of them, as well as destroying their weapons and ammunition. Several days ago, another Damascus suburb was targeted by a deadly bomb attack. The latest attack comes as Syrian forces have stepped up their offensive against foreign-sponsored militants in Damascus and other cities. At least one person has been killed in the July 16 bomb attack on a convoy of Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement in eastern Lebanon. A security source who spoke in condition of anonymity said the man who lost his life was traveling on board the vehicle, which was gutted by a roadside bomb near the Lebanese-Syrian border. The bomb hit the vehicle on a road linking Lebanon's capital Beirut to the Syrian capital Damascus near the Al-Masna crossing point on Tuesday. In the meantime, gunmen have assassinated a prominent pro-Syria figure in southern Lebanon. Mohammad Darar Jammu, the head of the Political and International Relations Division of the International Organization for Arab Emigrants, was killed outside his home in the coastal town of Sarafand. Tens of thousands of Greek public sector workers have staged new protests ahead of a parliamentary vote that would facilitate the layoff of thousands of workers. The Wednesday protest gathered municipal workers and mayors in Athens just before lawmakers set to vote on a bill that will put 4,200 civil servants under so-called redeployment, subjecting them to involuntary transfers and possible dismissals. The protesters called on lawmakers to drop the bill. Greece has been required by its international lenders, including the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, to undertake certain measures in order to receive 6.8 billion euro in fresh aid. By the end of this year, some 25,000 civil servants must be redeployed overall and an additional 4,000 fired in order for the country to receive the bailout rescue loans. A new report says the number of Italians living in absolute and relative poverty soared in 2012, with families in southern Italy hit the hardest. Italy's National Statistics Office revealed that about 4.8 million people, or 8% of the population, are grappling with absolute poverty, meaning they are unable to afford the minimum acceptable living standards. The report, citing a study conducted by Istat, said an additional 9.56 million people, or 15.8% of the population, are relatively poor, up from 8.17 million people in 2011. It clarified that the worst affected region is the south, where almost one in three Italians lives in relative poverty, and an additional 11% face absolute poverty. At least 13 people have been killed in two separate operations by the U.S.-led forces in Gilan district in Ghazni province, East Afghanistan. An Afghan woman was shot dead in a U.S.-led military operation. A probe has been launched into the U.S. forces' civilian killing. Meanwhile, reports said at least 12 people were killed in a U.S. airstrike on a village in Logar province last night. The airstrike came after a similar attack by U.S.-led forces in the Khugiani district of Ghazni province on Monday that killed 10 people. Reports say many people in Kunar province have left their villages and sought refuge in other provinces due to the rise in the number of airstrikes by U.S.-led forces. Los Angeles police braced for a third night of protests as citizens angry at the acquittal of George Zimmerman and the shooting death of unarmed black teenager Trayvon Martin took to the streets to voice their concern. In front of Los Angeles City Hall, a peaceful group of marchers carried signs reading "No Justice, No Peace," featuring a black and white image of the murdered teenager. The 29-year-old Zimmerman remained in hiding after a jury of six unanimous women found him not guilty of second-degree murder and manslaughter. Civil rights leaders called a Justice for Trayvon Day, planning a further 100 demonstrations in 100 cities on Saturday, July 20.
This is supposed to be a peaceful demonstration, and we should respect the wishes of Trayvon's mother and father because they said they didn't want any violence. And so it's not about us, it's about Trayvon. And when we get out here as black people and do all this looting and fighting and all that, that's not representing Trayvon in the right way.
Hopefully we can change something in the justice system because something was definitely wrong. You know what I mean? The boy went to the store, was walking home, and he got profiled and killed for it.
The system fails every time anyway, so this is no surprise. That's why my daughter cried all day, all night, and I'm looking at her like, this is no surprise. This is the system. The system always fails us.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
Up to 45% of all crimes in London are ignored by the police. Police data for 2012-2013 shows that 76% of motor vehicle thefts, 40% of residential burglaries, and 23% of robberies were screened out. That is besides 40% individual fraud allegations and two-thirds of criminal damage claims. Analysts say not probing minor crimes robustly is sending a dangerous message. This comes as almost a recent study also showed that almost a third of all crimes across England and Wales are also screened out by the forces.
Something in store in Sainsbury. There is one guy, he put it something inside, and I don't know what to do, because from one side I need to stop him, from another side I'm not a policeman, I have no rights. This is problem for UK.
So many bikes being stolen in London, it's just beyond their manpower to be able to do that, you know. So
if they're not doing their job properly, yeah, then you know this city is going to be a bit unsafe, then, isn't it? Then you know when people want the police to supervise, and they're not doing their job properly, then you know we're going to have problems, aren't we?
I had quite the accident. My girlfriend got attacked, and it's been reported to the police, but they did absolutely nothing about that. I don't know. I really don't know. Reported the accident again, and another police officer said that he's going to investigate on that. Now it's 3 months later, nothing has been done.
I'm sure the amount of volume they have to deal with, you know, there is probably work left behind, you know, dragged on. And then depending on if it's a car crime or if it's a more serious crime, I'm sure it's like it's nearly impossible to attend really all is at the same time, you know. So I do understand what they're trying to do, but I think in practice it probably doesn't work that well.
Well, on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.